What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today, Joe Biden prepares to confront Vladimir Putin amid his G7 blunders. More vaccine passports on the way. And Chuck Schumer is apparently an ableist. We have a lot coming up today, and it starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez. Yes, it is still the same show, just with a different opening. Sorry, I missed you guys yesterday. Jason Buttrell was supposed to fill in for me, and then he just went and got food poisoning, which I found to be very rude. So our apologies, but we are back and ready to go. Also back with Jakub Bujans, host of the Jakub Bujans Show, who, by the way, I would just like for everyone to know before, well, let me just go ahead, John Doyle. I guess I'll introduce you.
Hey, John.
Of course, this is a Heck Off Commie's own John Doyle.
True.
But I had a lot of people reaching out to me. I think that they were worried that there was some rift because Jakub Bujans isn't on. Where is Jakub Bujans? Where is he? Why isn't he on? Well, Jakub was out of town.
There's no rift.
I was dying for him to come on too.
I so missed you. It's so good to be back. Thank you so much. I know you did a great job. I actually got to watch some of the shows while filming our TV series. Yeah, I got to. Yeah.
This is big time producer, filmmaker. I had withdrawals.
So.
Yes, I know. Well, we did too. Yeah. So it's good for you to be back.
It's an honor.
You're welcome, everyone. We like to give the people what they want. So let's get into the news of the day. So obviously, like I said, I was gone yesterday. We didn't get to talk about all of the G7 summit meetings, blunders. And then, of course, now Biden is preparing to confront Vladimir Putin in Geneva this week. Now, Biden has been blunt in his assessments of Putin in the past. You will recall, probably, they had asked, like, do you think he's a killer? And he basically unequivocally had said yes. A little bit different now. I believe this was yesterday during the NATO summit. He was asked the same question. And then what would you say to Vladimir Putin? And I think Joe Biden once again short circuiting live on television. Watch this.
In a weekend interview, Vladimir Putin laughed at the suggestion that you had called him a killer. Is that still your belief, sir, that he is a killer?
To answer the first question, I'm laughing too. He has made clear that the answer is, I believe he is in the past essentially acknowledged that he was there are certain things that he would do or did do. But look, when I was asked that question on air, I answered it honestly. But it's not much of a, I don't think it matters a whole lot in terms of this next meeting we're about to have.
Now, this is, of course, I mean, the stakes are high for this meeting. Since Biden last met Putin in person, the United States has accused Russia of interfering in two elections, the second in 2020, and executing an unprecedented cyber attack against U.S. businesses and government institutions. And, of course, there is Crimea. So I'm not sure that I would call this a strong stance. At this point, I believe it took about 7 seconds for Joe Biden to fully reset before he could speak again. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts?
Oh, it does matter. From a guy to the world, it matters. This is major point score Putin. Putin, the guy with no shirt riding a horse bareback. Right in
Which
Russia.
Is not the image that I wanted.
Okay. No,
thank you.
But now you're gonna come. You know what's gonna happen next week when a big cat slaps a little cat, and is Putin the killer? Doesn't even have to. It is point scored. It is advantage Russia. It is USA is subject to because our leader that's walking in there goes, oh, it doesn't really matter. you know, I'm just going to meet with the strongest, you know, opponent we have, and he'll play nice. He's going to slap you like a big cat and laugh at you while he's doing it. This is why bring Trump back, that pushes people aside, that says USA first, America first. Hey, Putin, you're under my shoe. This is not good. This is bad. Remember, China laughed at us in Alaska and said, you don't even come from a place of strength. This guy is saying this is not bad. This is an atrocity. If I was his coach and this is fight day, I'd say fake an injury. Don't show up because you're about to be humiliated. And I'm so pro America, Sarah, but this is not the representation we want.
Yeah, John.
At the G7.
Yeah, John. I mean, I can hear the calls for impeachment now. Had President Trump said something like that, I mean, he was, you know, he did his whole Trumpian way of speaking when he talked about Kim Jong Un. And the press couldn't believe it. The left couldn't believe it that he would say these things about this killer. Now we have Joe Biden like, I mean, what difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, they live in these thought bubbles and they're not aware that most of the rest of the world isn't enlightened on things like egalitarianism and feminism. And so fundamentally, people still respect and respond to strong male leadership.
Right.
And you have someone like Joe Biden who, you know, he's good looking, he's charming. He doesn't have a whole lot going on upstairs anymore. I think he's a handsome guy. I think he's not as unlikable as someone like Hillary Clinton.
Okay, that's
like
he's kind of
he's pretty unlikable.
He's got that smile, but you know, like if you're just, I don't know, that's my opinion. But anyways, compare that to someone like Vladimir Putin, who, like you said, optics of riding the horse bareback, shirtless, and you know, he goes hunting, and he just commands respect. Like when he walks, people just, he looks like a guy who knows that he's untouchable. And Joe Biden, you know, you watch videos of him walking, they take the still images and they put them on Twitter, like, you know, 2 weeks down or whatever. Look at a video of him walking around. He's looking, he doesn't know where, and then Jill Biden has to come and escort him towards where he is. He has no idea what he's doing. And so on the world stage, someone like Donald Trump, you know, maybe he didn't have the policy knowledge necessary, but he had the instincts to go in there and know that, like, he's just generally going to do what's best for the American people, where Joe Biden doesn't even know what he's doing. He's going to look like a joke.
Yeah. Well, okay. So on that note, let's play. There were a ton of clips that we had to choose from. I know that there was one that probably most of you saw out there that was Joe Biden forgetting that he was introduced to the, was it the South African president?
Yeah.
And that was, speaking of John, I mean, really, there's this look of emptiness in his eyes whenever he's looking around. It's like he's not quite sure who everyone is, where he is. But here is another one that surfaced of Joe Biden just kind of interrupting himself, getting lost in his own thoughts. Watch.
And I've said before, and I apologize for repeating, I didn't like to say sorry to you, but I'm a security advisor. I'm leaving out a lot of people here. I apologize. I'm going to get in trouble. But anyway, we'll get back to that. But you know, there's a lot that is happening.
Come on, look, man, the thing. You know, the thing.
Here's the deal.
Look,
guys,
man.
Honestly, you just need to acting is reacting. And if you look at the faces of the other leaders that's sitting in the room, they're going, swallow me up, please. It's almost like they say, can somebody throw the U.S. a lifeline?
Yeah.
Can we send our coaches to help you so you can be a worthy opponent? Yeah. By the way, him not knowing Cyril Ramaphosa, the leader of South Africa, who is the number one champion of all things China around the world in the BRICS coalition, who is the second highest threat to the U.S. at the moment, the BRICS coalition, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. The fact that he doesn't even know the man by just looking at him tells you how little he's in touch. The country at the moment, the show we did with Glenn, that is murdering white farmers at a rate that is unseen, reverse racism that is unseen. The fact that our president can't identify this guy should tell you that this man is not on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what they shoot him up with to get him up in the morning, but it's he's not here.
Yeah.
This is a serious problem.
I mean, just a little bit. It's just the leader of the free world who can't.
Would you have me back if you passed to me and I go, yeah, you know.
So anyway.
There's a lot of people here. You can't expect me to remember names.
Yeah, I mean, it's painful listening to the stutters and the, actually, you know what? I don't want to call it a stutter because they're going to say, oh, well, remember, he has a stutter. It's a stumble, not a stutter. I should not say stutter. John.
Yeah, he said, what was it, that he had a speech impediment and he tried to like victimize himself?
Every time he doesn't know a word and he short circuits, they're like, you can't make fun of a man with a stutter? Are you crazy?
Which is interesting because the coalition in which he's operating, as we'll get into with Chuck Schumer, seems to be a little bit ableist towards those types of people.
I'm laughing
at what you said, or what he said about, would you have me back if I did this? Because I heard through the grapevine that you were critical of my tendency to simply respond to takes with just so true. And yet I've still been able to come back.
You have.
Yeah, but you do it with your eyes up and you do it with confidence and you go, so true.
Well, I'm not a narcissist.
Because it's a cognitive decision. It's not a 45-second decision to say so true.
True.
Right?
And but now you really won't be
But
back.
I'm not a narcissist, though. You make a good point. I'm not going to say, well, that was good, but let me make it my point. I'm just going to say, good point, Sarah. So true. And that's the end of it.
That's the end of it.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
What a gentleman John Doyle is over
we
here.
We need more.
Okay, so we're talking about how bad optically it looks to be, you know, to have Joe Biden as your president right now. We're not the only ones talking about it. An Australian news organization, Sky News, they actually covered this, but they covered it in a way that is very similar to the way that we do, which is to point out how good the glowing coverage is of Joe Biden whenever he goes anywhere, does anything. And it's just like, God, everyone around the world knows it. I know I tweet this out all the time. I'm like, the world is laughing at us. The world is laughing at us. No, literally, the world is laughing at us. Watch.
I want to go to the US now because the media has been gushing as their beloved Joe Biden prepares for his trip to the United Kingdom to attend the G7 summit. Listen to how CNN is reporting this momentous event.
Joe Biden is stepping onto the world stage for the first time as president, and equal to foreign leaders.
Now, let's go back in time to 2018 and see if those same newsrooms offer the presidency of Donald Trump such light and positive coverage.
Dramatic and deepening G7 divide, better put perhaps as G6 versus 1.
Sophie, they're calling it the G6 when Trump's there, but Joe Biden's there and it's momentous and it's positive and it's glowing and they're trying to give the illusion that he doesn't have any disputes with any of these international leaders. What do you think of that?
I just think Joe Biden is a lucky person. He has got all the media on his side, or most of the media on his side, particularly CNN, completely at odds with what they did to Trump. So, you know, his popularity surely can only win from this because he's getting so much positive PR through the journalists who are massive fans of him. It's really quite appalling to watch. And what happened to straight news reporting, which doesn't seem to be existent there?
I'm like, am I listening to Blaze TV? That sounds like exactly what we've been saying for years now. It's incredible.
I mean, when the White House gets schooled by the Aussies, I'm a South African. We never get schooled by the Aussies. That's like fighting words. And this is just, but this is the truth, though. Truths are being spoken around the world. And in the U.S., you can't speak truth. In the U.S., you got to see something and say, oh, it's not really what you're seeing. Let's sugarcoat it because it's liberal and therefore it's good, you know, and it's narcissistic in the extreme sense. They said Trump was a narcissist. They're the narcissists. They're the ones who can't face the music and really call a spade and call balls and strikes. And so, look, I've never seen a human being that had more support in his job. Can you imagine if you, me, the Walmart teller has this kind of support where the CEO of Walmart goes, no matter what you do, we're gonna say you're the greatest. You're the greatest. Now, let's get back to a country where it's on merit. You earn it. Mm. Right? You fall going up the steps twice, you're not quite fit. Let's put you through a fitness test. Sorry, buddy. We're going to bring a replacement.
Yeah.
Right? The world's laughing at us. And thankfully, they're saying things American media other than Blaze TV,
mm-hmm.
including Fox. Fox not speaking the truth. None of
mm-hmm.
them. Blaze TV speaking the truth. And obviously, Sky News Australia.
Yeah,
I found that to be pretty reassuring. I'm guilty of this. I've had to retract previous statements. there's a sort of like George Bush era patriotism of like USA is number one, all the other countries are dumb. But it's like you see this in the Aussies or even in different parts of Europe, like them laughing at us is almost reassuring in a way. It makes us feel like less isolated. Like there are people in the world who see what's happening and they're like maybe sympathizing, maybe mocking us, but at least they get that what's happening right now is not good and it's not even legitimate. And so we can kind of, you know, reach across the pond and, you know, salute. I'm glad we're not totally isolated in this battle. Maybe we can take back the West someday.
Yeah.
So true.
That's all I'm going to say. Okay, really quickly, I know we got to go to break, but I do want to really quickly play. I just found this amusing. You know, there were a lot of mask photo opportunities with all of these world leaders who obviously have been vaccinated. But this was my favorite one, which was, of course, Boris Johnson with a couple other world leaders. And they're all standing there and he says, okay, well, we could take our masks off now. And then they sit down right where they were standing because somehow COVID doesn't strike you when you're sitting, as we all know. Watch.
Okay.
You can't make it up.
I told you in the past.
You can't make it
Boswell
up.
Boswell and Wilkie circus show, okay? Circus show. This is so laughable.
Yeah, it's sad. John, last word.
The coverage is just so biased and negative of COVID. I mean, they'll talk about the death rates, how bad it is. No one talks about how considerate it is that it will not infect you if you are sitting, if you are eating or drinking,
if you are at
Thanksgiving dinner.
But they won't talk about that. Wow.
Yeah.
It is very smart.
Or dancing at weddings.
True.
Dance at weddings.
You can't do that. All right, we've got more to come. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Built Bar. So for those of you who maybe you got a little bit of a sweet tooth, you have some weight to lose, and you're constantly going to the pantry, you're constantly going where you shouldn't to look for something to snack on. Yeah, we got to stay away from the snacks because they catch up to us, but not if you are snacking on Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar, but it tastes like a candy bar. It's delicious. It's all covered in 100% chocolate. It's low in calories, low in carbs, high in protein, high in fiber. By the way, I do mostly keto, and you can eat them on the keto diet. I'm not making this up. Yaku has tried them as well.
Fantastic. The best protein bar I've ever had. No question. And I'm not endorsed by them. I just love them.
Yeah, he just loves them.
Because of the low sugar.
Yes. Yeah.
And real chocolate.
Yes.
Those two things. Real chocolate, low sugar.
The
amazing.
Chocolate is very, very quality chocolate. Yeah. By the way, here's some good news. Built Bar is doing a special flavor for Father's Day, the Caramel Brownie, and it's going to be available June 19th and June 20th. So if you are looking to get Dad something for Father's Day, you know he's going to love, you can go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code NEWS15. You'll save 15% off of your order only at B-U-I-L-T, BuiltBar.com. The Biden administration released its new White House National Security Council plan to address domestic terrorism today, and they pledged to focus on curbing the spread of the militia extremism and, quote, white supremacy that the administration says are the most persistent and lethal threats. So they have laid out a comprehensive approach to addressing the threat while safeguarding bedrock American civil rights and civil liberties, values that make us who we are as a nation. This was according to Joe Biden in a press conference. And by the way, the NSC, the National Security Council, has now defined domestic terrorism as, this is the definition, activities that involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state, appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping, and occur, of course, within the jurisdiction of the United States. So this comes as, I know I was telling you guys off air, but I just saw the clip, so I couldn't pull it for the show, but CNN was discussing how the FBI had said that they were actually looking for maybe some sort of violent acts from QAnon. They said the FBI has warned lawmakers in Washington that QAnon followers may become more violent because they can no longer, quote, trust the plan.
Wow.
So you see the foundation being laid to demonize, you, John.
Me specifically.
You.
Unironically,
he's an African American, so I feel like he gets a pass. He's from South Africa, so okay. He's an African-American.
I know you just had a moment. Don't have a Biden moment with me. South African passport, American passport. African-American is not skin pigment.
Okay.
That's a farce.
See, so that's our out. So okay. But you, John, they're laying the foundation to be able to demonize you.
Not me. I think we actually found out that I am more Native American than Elizabeth Warren, which if she's the metric of Native American representation in government.
Then you are.
Yes. Yes. And so
you get a pass too.
Exactly. Exactly. My people.
Yeah.
Look, by that definition, which is amazing. Thank you for that definition, because by that definition, Black Lives Matter, Inc. is a domestic terrorist organization. Ooh. By that definition. Burning buildings down, threatening lives. So by that definition, and this is the double standard you see from this administration all day long, and they snare themselves. They can't help themselves because they'll throw something out there, like the pasta theory. If it sticks, it sticks. And then when they double back and goes, oh, snap, you know, cancel culture can turn back on us. Now what happens if one of our own turns against us, like Caitlyn Jenner? How do we handle that? Mm-hmm. How do we pivot? There's a constant pivot because it's not no conviction. So by definition, Black Lives Matter, Inc., then by their account, is a national domestic terrorist organization.
Yeah, never in the history of recorded text has there been something written with as little self-awareness as that definition. It's just incredible.
It's like, and all of the left-leaning organizations.
I know, and that's
qualify.
What's so scary is they have such a firm grip on us in this country where they can literally in any major city, they can terrorize and burn down buildings and intimidate people. You can't walk around with a Trump hat or a MAGA hat on anymore. Like, you will be assaulted. I've been to all sorts of political rallies. I've never seen like an actual white supremacist. The KKK doesn't exist. Nazis don't exist. They have no representation. Nobody likes them. They have no support anywhere. Whereas communists have all the institutional support. We know that. But it's like, we can be escorted into buildings by federal police. They can say you can stay as long as you don't break anything. And then what happens? We get a commission. We're going to be written about and compared to the 9/11 hijackers. And it's like they're like literally using federal police to target us. And I have to say, when I see someone like Vladimir Putin saying that, like, you know, Biden is perhaps using his DOJ to target his political opposition, and then you see him and he's riding the horse, you explore the possibility of moving to Moscow just a little bit, not with serious intent, but just a little bit.
Yeah. I want to say, too, included in this plan that they've laid out, by the way, it's likely to cost more than $100 million. There is an effort to provide retiring members of the United States military who are deemed at risk of being seduced by extremism with anti-radicalization training. So they will take it upon themselves to make sure that you don't get radicalized by anyone, and they will give you that anti-radicalization training, you know, as a thank you for your service, I guess, before you leave and then go and retire. And this is after we've seen all of these woke commercials about the people who are joining the ranks. What could possibly go wrong?
That's what they don't get. The anti-radicalization is what radicalizes people. Like, people just want to be left alone. Right. And then you start throwing this in their face, like, you have to feel guilty for loving your country. You have to feel guilty because you're born white. And it's like, that's what radicalizes people, because they insist on cramming it down everybody's throats.
Mm-hmm. But it is, that is their status quo. That is the game plan. You disrupt from within. This is Sun Tzu. This is the art of war. This is how you do battle in the military. If I have a problem with you, I don't fight you. I get someone else to fight you for me, and I take the spoils. This is how you do it. So you create disruption in a culture by critical race theory that's going rampant through this country, and you create this subcontext without definition, by the way, because none of these things have definition. So what is radical? Right. Ask them to define. Can't define. Nothing has definition. It's this gross overstatement and just big words and definition that they can pivot in, statements, but that no definition. So you can't pin it down. You can't legislate on it. You can't say, well, you said, you know, this group now qualifies as a domestic terror group. Well, we didn't mean it that way.
Right.
It's not quite what we meant. They can burn the building down, but you can't, because you're the wrong skin color. So it's divisiveness, and they have to divide. This is Clinton. This is Obama. This is all of them. They have to create a race conversation in this country. They can't run their party without race tension, critical race theory, or pinning people against each other. So we're doing their dirty work for them, really, honestly, by going against each other. By them starting the narrative with no definition and just say, yeah, all white men should apologize for being white. No, thank you. Won't do. Right? So it's just time to draw a line.
Well, the NSC has also categorized what happened on January 6th as domestic terrorism. Of course, this is what prompted Joe Biden to do all of this. What are your thoughts on on that, John?
On what specifically, 1-6?
Qualifying it as domestic terrorism.
I think to his point, it's just vaguely defined so as to keep the establishments in power and people who would be inclined to dissent or push back against that because they actually care about their country and its founding values in the defensive position, basically.
Yaku, I like that wrap up, basically.
Basically, look, it is, again, it's divisiveness. It's setting a set of rules for them that they play and they can manipulate and move, and the rest of us just don't play by those rules, right? So they're going to do this because this is how they operate. They can't unify. The second they move towards any form of unity, they'll lose control completely, mm-hmm. because unity brings truth. It brings transparency. Right, and it brings common goal, which is always going to be country first. It's always going to be mission first. It's like any company, any great company, there's a great visionary with a great vision and a bunch of command guys that can follow the vision. Right, this is why Musk can raise money although he loses money.
Yeah.
You know, how does he keep raising money? He lays out an incredible vision with the best talent and they go, we're going that way. They can't do that because you can't divide people when you go that way as a unit because people pull together. And that is Judeo-Christian conservative capitalism, those elements bring people together. Everything they do is about dividing people to take the spoils.
Yeah. All right. We've got more to come, including vaccine passports on the way in California. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Raycon. So, I'm sure that some of you are traveling this summer. I don't know if it's for work or for play. Whatever the case may be, you are going to be on the move. So you need to get you some Raycons. All right. Especially so that you don't miss an episode of the news and why it matters. If you are traveling, Raycons are great. I have some. I was just out of town yesterday. I was on the plane. I could not be without them. And they go all the way in your ear. They're kind of hidden, but they don't have those stems that just get in your way and weigh it down and fall out and all of that. And you also can get the same crisp, powerful audio at like half the price of some of these other premium audio brands. They come in a bunch of different colors. They have customizable gel tips included for a comfortable ear fit. So they have all different sizes so you can get that correct size to fit your ear properly. The Bluetooth it very, very easily pairs with whatever device you need it to. By the way, Raycon is offering 15% off of all of their products for my listeners. All you have to do is go to Buy Raycon. That's B-U-Y. BuyRaycon.com/Y. You will get 15% off there. And I'm telling you guys, they are already very reasonably priced. So pick up a pair for you. And then I'm just going to do you a favor and give you a tip. Also pick up a pair for your child because your child is going to see them and love them and steal them from you. So go ahead and go get two at buyraycon.com/Y. All right, Gavin Newsom, I think he decided that people can't hate him enough in California. He's like, how do I get more people to despise me? So he discussed the rollout of an upcoming vaccine verification system. And this is, by the way, as they just now in California got that updated guidance. It took place, what is it, today? No, yesterday. Yesterday was Monday. It just took place yesterday that they were finally able to return to normal-ish, because you're still in California, right? In most situations for vaccinated people. So fully vaccinated people, they want to be able to do everything that they were doing before the pandemic. But if you are not fully vaccinated, they want you to still wear a mask. And Gavin Newsom says that businesses, venue operators, or hosts may choose to give information to all patrons, guests, and attendees regarding vaccination requirements and allow vaccinated individuals to self-attest that they are in compliance prior to entry and that they may implement vaccine verification to determine whether individuals are going to be required and, you know, whether or not they're telling the truth, because you better not lie to the state, according to Gavin Newsom. But he would tell you it's not a passport, okay? This is not a vaccine passport. It's just, we're just discussing how to verify that you've had the vaccine. But don't call it a passport, please.
It's a passport. It's a passport, 100%.
Yeah.
And
papers, please.
It's papers, please. Papers, please, to pass through the gate feels a little reminiscent of killing a lot of people. You know, and so that's the camp he's putting himself in, and that's the bet he's making, and he's going to have to land it. This is a guy who wants to make a run for president.
Oh.
This is a guy who wants to, in 2024, make a run. And I'm telling, somebody needs to whisper in the ear, this is the way to not win favor. Because I think he sleeps at night and go, how can I push the envelope further? How he's still in office blows my mind. Okay, how he's...
Hopefully not for long.
No, but this is a passport, 100%. And unfortunately, if I take my experience and the work we do, these kind of trends start with Newsom, and then they go like a brush fire through the country.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, whether it's critical race theory, comprehensive sex ed, or this, or gender neutrality, all these things start with Newsom, and they have started with Newsom for the last 3 years, and then they go like a brush fire. So I'm concerned about this, because he has support for this, that other states are going to jump on this. But it's a passport, 100%. So Americans should just think about your freedom, and then think whether you need to show another form of identification that came in a little vial with a doctor stabbing you, right? Whether you should show those papers. I say burn it to the ground. That's what you need to burn. Burn these vaccine papers. Burn them.
John.
Yes, buddy.
Let's go. I like that. And that's the scary part, is the other side of that coin is just how many people, especially in California, have accepted the jab as a prerequisite to getting their lives
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
It's reminiscent of when you're like in elementary school and like one kid talked, and so there's like the collective punishment. It's just like, well, maybe if you stop talking, we could go outside. It's like, I didn't talk in the first place. I should be outside right now.
Right.
It's like, it's not my fault this happened. But the masses are just so willing to go along with these narratives because I think they're insecure. And so they're just like, you know, I'll conform. I don't want to dissent. I don't want to swim upstream.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because there are so many states who have come out and said, yeah, we're not doing the whole vaccine passport thing. By the way, you're not allowed to do it in our state. You know, Florida comes to mind. So it'll be interesting, because I think so many states, radical states, can adopt this. And then they're going to get a lot of pushback from the others. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I do want to also get to a story over in Illinois. A mother in Bloomington, Illinois, recently voiced her opposition to the new educational standards that force children to learn about. By the way, if you have children in the room, probably don't want to keep them in the room for this one. Forced children to learn about masturbation, anal sex, and transgender ideology. This is before their teenage years. This is the new bill and what it's all about. I think we have the expert here to break it down afterwards, but let's listen to this mad mom.
And she came to your school when she procures bids for ISU with construction, and came to your school and spoke to your staff for 2 straight days. Why did she do that? This is why she did that. This is why she did that. To make sure that when our students want to know whether or not they have a or a, they have pictures from your staff to be able to help them. They don't have enough sex. They don't have enough sex. They need adults to tell them how to masturbate, and what I call that is so here's what I'm asking you. You have a hard time hearing this from me, but this is for 10 years old and up, and this bill was passed for 5-year-olds, and you have a hard time me sitting here telling you the words sex, masturbation, that's hard for you, or the time's up, because the time's not really up. I don't believe you, Mr. Wiley, that my time is up.
Guys, get your kids out of public schools.
Mama bear.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to mess with a mom in that situation.
Yep. Yes. So that book she's holding up is in my study. It's called It's Perfectly Normal. It's supported by What's Happening to My Body for Boys, What's Happening to My Body for Girls. That curriculum, Comprehensive Sex Ed, was written by the United Nations, by UNESCO, SICAS, Planned Parenthood. It was taken to Africa, and then it was adopted by a governor called Gavin Newsom. And Gavin Newsom wrote it into executive order in the state of California, where every kid in the state of California in public school now learns that. And yes, that book on page 12 asks a boy if anal sex hurts at age 10. Now they've brought it down to kindergarten, age 5, and they do teach masturbation in the classroom at age 5. And if the teacher is not willing to teach it, and this is what I do for a living, mm-hmm. if the teacher is not willing to teach it, they will gladly bring a Planned Parenthood representative into the classroom to come teach this, right? And so this is, so you've got critical race theory going on, and then you've got an absolute indoctrination of sexual desensitization of children at age 5, while our country's average for pornography entry is boys age 8. So you're now talking about boys asking questions. We have a 12-year-old boy we're working with now who is sitting in a classroom. They asked him, does anal sex hurt? He goes on YouTube and he types in anal sex. Mm-hmm. He gets graphic porn. Mm-hmm. 2 months later, he's a porn addict. He's now watching 2 hours porn a week. That is 100% contributed to that superintendent. I spoke to Frisco ISD last night in Texas about this very issue. This is a mass. You want to talk about a pandemic or an epidemic in our country? This is it. This is it. When you have a 5-year-old having to talk about masturbating in front of his friends in kindergarten, wake up, America. You talk Mama Bear, she should get the claws out and draw blood. Because we're talking about our children here, mm-hmm. and this is who they're coming after. And every single American that voted for Joe Biden, I say, this is on you.
One thing I miss is the Christian right of the 80s and the 90s. I was in a bookstore a few weeks ago, and there was something on display on like one of the end caps, and it was like, you know, intro to voodoo and like, you know, spell casting for kids. And I just sort of thought to myself, 30 years ago, not that this is good, but there would have been Christian moms coming in and like kicking that over. Like, you're not going to indoctrinate our children into like occult worship and things like this. There are two complementary ideas that are existing within that coalition. One is that child sexuality does exist. They can be 8, 9 years old. We need to teach them about these graphic things for their education so they know how to pleasure themselves properly. That's one idea. The second idea is that kids are completely understanding of themselves and their identity. They are able to consent to things like hormone blockers and sex reassignments. What is the implication of those two ideas that are flowing parallelly, or I guess concurrently, that child sexuality exists and also children can consent? What's the result of that? And well, the slippery slope doesn't exist really, because in 2015, there were predictions that were made. That's not going to happen. Here we are 6 years later. In the 90s, predictions were made. That's not going to happen. Here we are. It's within even my lifetime. I'm 21. It's within my lifetime. That is the result, because they want to. And you mentioned pornography, too. The average age, I think it was 11 or 8 years old. You said it. Yeah. And so now I did it. It's interesting. You mentioned my channel. I have like a 2-hour dissertation just against pornography that I think you'd really be interested in, since it overlaps with your work. It's like they want to get people addicted to this over-sexualized culture because it corrodes the spirit and it just gets them totally locked in and it makes them a slave to their own desires. And if you're a slave to your desire, you can never really see the truth, because everything that you observe about the world is always going to be through the lens of your own perversion and corruption.
Porn is the only drug that rechannels the neural pathway of the brain. There's no other drug. And this is all, and if you want to talk about women's rights, this is a direct violation on women's rights. Why? Because when you desensitize men to sex, they objectify women, the women self-objectify, now you've got a very weak society. Because the man is supposed to be the hunter, the Putin or bareback on a horse, to go out and go get meat. But the mom makes the homestead and works and keeps the family together and keeps the kid fed. When a dad goes on a trip and he comes home, you know what my wife says? Hey, you got to step back into the system, buddy. You're not going to disrupt sleep cycles and systems. Moms are pivotal to society. Here's one of them. And when you sexualize a young culture, the biggest loser is women. It's women, women's sports, the womb, you know, when does life start? This is how you break women. And then you've got these absolute idiots who are feminist, who want to come and say they fight for women's rights. They don't have a clue how you erode a woman as you go after children and you attack sexuality and you normalize sex with children. 100%.
They've destroyed femininity. That's the reason why, statistically, the profile of the most depressed person in this country is a middle-aged, working woman with no children.
All right. I feel like I'd just gone to church over here. We've got a lot more to come. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Omaha Steaks. So Father's Day is around the corner. Here is your last chance, you guys, to get your dad something that he will love, but also you will love, because you can eat it. You go to omahasteaks.com, type Y in the search bar. There will be the Get Out and Grill assortment right there on the page for you. It is 59% off right now. It's got 20 entrees. It's got burgers, chicken breasts, a bunch of different sides, desserts. They've got 4 10-ounce butcher's cut New York strips. They're aged 30 days. That makes them way more tender. Plus, they're going to throw in 4 free New York strip burgers with your order. We've got this one at home, and it has come in so so handy. We're all busy, okay? You got to go to Omaha Steaks. Let them get you set for dinner. Get Dad something he will love, and you will love it too. You can go to omahasteaks.com, type in keyword Y, that's W-H-Y, in the keyword in the search bar. Get Dad the Get Out and Grill assortment. That is omahasteaks.com, keyword Y. The office of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he is apologetic after he made headlines by being quite ableist in an interview speaking about disabled children. Here is Chuck Schumer.
And this initiative actually will house the homeless population that is actually living on our streets. We see them every day.
Yes.
We're about to house them, and they're against it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I have found that my whole career. They wanted to build when I first was assemblyman, they wanted to build a congregate living place for retarded children. Mm-hmm. The whole neighborhood was against it. These are homeless kids. They just needed some help.
You're not allowed to say that anymore. I realize Chuck Schumer is old, but I am told that if you use any sort of offensive remarks, even if you're using it in a non-offensive way, right, you're not meaning to like slander someone or insult them, that you are to be canceled. But Chuck Schumer says he's sorry, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, but he doesn't double standard. He doesn't play by those rules.
Right.
See, he's from the other race. He's from the liberal race.
And I keep going back and forth. I'm like
a different set of circumstances.
Yeah, because I'm like, so
and
what
an
is
apology
it?
Means something when it comes from them.
So it's the angel and the devil. Like, do I want that to be the standard? No. But
no.
Have they made it the standard? Yes.
Yes.
So shouldn't they live and die by it, John?
Sure. I wish that there were a synonymous word. We need a word to define, you know, somebody who is like less. It was a good word, and the baby boomers ruined it because it used to be like a medical term.
Yeah,
they started using it as an insult because they're mean people, and now we can't say it to like. Why are you laughing? Do you disagree?
I
this is how I feel about the rainbow being hijacked.
I didn't know. I didn't know you had a jihad against baby boomers.
Unironically, yes.
Is something you need to share?
No. What? Who hurt you, John?
The boomers, but not on Glenn Beck's platform.
So I'm sure. Nothing will come of it, but he did make a lot of people angry. You know, it's interesting. They released a statement. They said, for decades, Senator Schumer has been an ardent champion for enlightened policy and full funding of services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. He used an inappropriate and outdated word in his description of an effort he supported that was led by the AHRC to build a group home in his Brooklyn district. He's sincerely sorry for his use of the outdated and hurtful language, but I feel like he could have just led with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and it would have been
But it's just funny how the posse will come out to his defense on his behalf.
Yes, but I love that.
But if you're on the right and you do make a mistake, and we're human beings, we make mistakes.
Right.
Show me a perfect one. Does not exist. One was and he'll come again. Okay. But when you make a mistake on the right, you can't even defend yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, you darn gone and done it. It's done.
Right.
It's settled. And that's the double standard you're talking about. And so, yes, because they made that the standard, they should be held accountable to live by it. I hate that it is so. Right. But now that it is, they got to be held accountable.
Yeah, I tend to agree. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be back. Don't forget to go to wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review The News and Why It Matters. By the way, if you leave us a good review, you may see it read live on air, like the one today from Mom to William says, Sarah the Built Bar Czar. It's just so true. I watch your show every day. I love all your content. It's always good. I miss Yaku, though. He's my favorite guest. Please bring him back. Keep being great. I told you. The people missed you. They were sending me messages. They were writing reviews about you. They missed you. I was like, I want to bring him back too. He's not here.
It warms my heart. I'm glad to be back.
So
thank you. I was traveling with the kids, drove thousands of miles.
Yeah. Well, we are very glad that you're back and back safely. Also, by the way, to whoever said that, I noticed there was a review that was like, well, I really love your show. And I love Blaze TV, but I saw a Beyond Meat ad when I was watching your show, and I can't watch it anymore. And I was like, I just want to let all of you know out there, if you're watching this on YouTube or Pluto or wherever, we don't actually control what advertisements are shown. So that's no reason to give us a poor review, jerk. All right. Anyway, I just want to also remind you guys, I will be on the Candace Owens Show. That is tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. We had a blast. I joined Candace and also the Hodge Twins. We did a panel, and you know, if the Hodge Twins are involved, it's gonna be something really fun. So as you guys can see from those pictures, we had a really good time. So don't miss it on the Daily Wire. It is 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. It's good to be back though. Yes. It's good to be back, and thank you guys for being here.
You went to go spruce their show up.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.